Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2024. This is 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book Meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter There is a Solution, on page 26, the third paragraph. It begins with, he begged the doctor to tell him, reading through that one paragraph ending with, that was a great physician's opinion. Today's readers are Julie B. for the 12 steps, Elsie M. will read the 12 traditions, Martha Z. will read the text, Abby D. will read page 164. Our newcomer greeter will be Reva P., and our second hour host will be Nancy C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, June 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,501-21501, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,502-21502. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Julie B. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Julie B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thanks so much, Julie B. I will now ask Elsie M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Elsie M. from Pennsylvania, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purposes, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups. OA as a whole. 5. Each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully supporting declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but centers may employ special workers. 9, OAs as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards committees to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, but OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thanks so much, LCM. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution on page 26. The third paragraph, which begins with, he begged the doctor to tell him, and ends with, that was a great physician's opinion. And we will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Martha Z to begin reading.
Good morning, Crystal. This is Martha Z. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society, and he would have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. That was a great physician's opinion. Good morning, my friends in recovery. So in the doctor's judgment, he's telling him he's utterly hopeless. So utterly, completely hopeless. And I was trying to think about how I could relate this, and I was completely, utterly hopeless before I came to OA. And the one thing I can say for OA is that OA gave me hope, and I spent my first 12 years struggling. And although I knew it was the right answer, and I never left, and I never tried anything else, and I thought that one day something would happen, but I knew it wouldn't happen if I wasn't here. So in those years, I mean, I did not know what the problem was. I did know that the steps were really important, and I tried to work them diligently while not being stably abstinent, which really does not work. Anyway, so that I learned, I came to see that I was powerless but not hopeless, and we talk about we were only seemingly hopeless. So I started to think about, like, places in the book where was talking about this, and in this chapter on page 34, we'll get to it in a little bit. It says, whether such a person can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends to the extent which he's already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. And I absolutely needed a spiritual solution. This is my drug of no choice. I could not, once I started eating, I could not stop. On page 43, it says, we're 100% hopeless apart from spiritual help. There's a theme here, you know. So I had been thinking about this before yesterday's meeting. So this is some of the stuff is what people said yesterday, but I'll just pull it all together. And then it says, his defense must come from a higher power. And then on page 45, its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So thankfully, by the grace of God, I have been living in recovery for 35 plus years, and I'm so grateful for it. But it is because I accepted spiritual help, and I am so grateful to have a relationship with God today that helps me with my problem and all my problems. So I just wanted to, from the Sunday special edition, John's caveat was that we stay in fit spiritual condition. So anyway, I think that it's been repeated many times in this chapter, and that's what I have. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Martha Z. We're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday this week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Liz E, UK.
All right, Liz, I've got you. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Just a quick reminder on where we're reading. It's page 26, the third paragraph. He begged the doctor to tell him, ending with, "That was a great physician's opinion."
Jackie A. from Connecticut.
All right, Jackie A.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. I can take some more names if anyone would like to share.
Cheryl L., Florida.
Cheryl L.
Carly F.
Carly F., yeah. Is there anyone else? All right, so let's get started with that list then. Here's who I've got. I've got Liz E., Jackie A., Vasa O., Cheryl L., and Carly F. Please give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and your location when you share so we can find you on the member list. If I could ask everyone to please press star 1 to mute your line. We'll get started with Liz E. followed by Jackie A.
Oh, good morning. My name is Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you for hearing my name, and thank you for everybody being here. This is a great paragraph, as every single paragraph in this book is. And I am utterly hopeless. And day one is where I start every single day. And what I'm learning is that hopelessness spreads to more than my food. It's about my behavior. It's about my words. It's about my actions. It's about my thoughts. It's about everything. And it's very, very humbling to hear that. And the other few words, the whole truth. This is the truth. This is my story. And it just is. And, you know, I dip into self-will. Sometimes I go in all the way up to my neck. Sometimes I just put my toes in. But when I'm in God's will, things flow. And that's the kind of vibe that I get When I'm in self-will, things are really jaggedy, really uncomfortable, and I feel discomfort. But as an addict, I am addicted to ease and comfort. And I believe going into self-will will give me ease and comfort. And guess what? It doesn't. It gives me restless, irritable discontent. So I'm just feeling a bit discombobulated today, but thank you for letting me share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz E. from the UK. Next, we've got Jackie A., followed by Vasa O.
Thank you so much. This is Jackie A. from Connecticut, and on the member list, I'm listed as J-A-C-K-I. There's no E at the end of my last name. Thank you, everybody, so much. I'm actually camping this 3 days, Juneteenth through the solstice, or tomorrow's full moon. And yesterday, I had to turn over my will to God, very much so. So I came into program while I was working in addiction treatment, about a year sober, and I was 12 steps by one of my colleagues that I was dating at the time that did every drug under the sun except for like the most severe hallucinogen that like ate your flesh. And I needed to hear that because I was lying to everybody. I was lying to myself. I was lying to my colleagues. And I was such a two-faced hypocrite that folks didn't know how bad I was suffering with my disordered eating and exercise bulimia and laxing. And I came into program bleeding rectally, and my ex was terrified for me. So I just passed my 2 years abstinence. I'm so grateful for that, from like red light foods. And September 2nd, I'm holding on day by day, minute by minute, meal by meal. It's going to be 3 years from binging, restricting, laxing, and exercise bulimia. So I'm just really blessed by this. So yesterday I was camping. I brought everything for perfect conditions. And there's that saying, like, if you don't plan, you know, to succeed, you're going to plan to fail, type of thing. So I was planning for success. I was not planning on for failure. And I climbed a ladder, so did my dog, that was like chest height. And it had three rungs, of course, step 1, 2, 3. And I fell. And I fell backwards, and it was like something out of a movie. It could have been on like this huge cliff. I could have lost my dog. I could have lost my life. And instead, I'm upside down with my head on there. Like, I hit a rock, and I'm okay. I'm okay. It hit like a spot where, thank God, like no loss of consciousness, no dizziness. But it took a fellow to really help me understand what would my God want. And my first answer was, God wants me to do what my ego doesn't. Like, I don't like God's answer. And I tried to push forward, and I heard a thunderclap, and I was like, I got to turn around. And it was like an insight, right? Like, it's like, okay, there you go. And as I turned around, I saw a butterfly. And that's what, like, I saw along the path when I was taking the right path. And when I wasn't taking the right path, it was like, literally, you know, you hear that saying, like, God's going to strike you down. Can't make that crap up. So the irony is, like, I have to learn sometimes the hard way, in the spiritual way, what it means to turn my life and my will over, because if not, I could have lost my life. And with that, I pass. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie A. from Connecticut. Next, we've got Vasa O., followed by Cheryl L.
Thank you. Good morning. Moderator, thank you for leading the meeting this morning, and everybody shares, and I'm Vasa. Oh, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And this where I was when I came to my 12-step program, and I remember going to the doctors. I mean, I tried everything for 25 years, how to take the weight off, and it was getting so progressively worse. I was out of control by the time I came to the 12 steps. And, and I hearing the stories, I felt at home when I came to the program. People were struggling with the same thing, and they found the solution. And I was looking for that solution, but I was going to the wrong places. what I did not know about the allergy. I didn't know the food obsession. I just did not know. And here I come to the 12 steps, and I'm hearing about anorexia, bulimia, restricting. And I say, yeah, that was me. That's me, you know. And I was so ready and just so willing, because I knew if I kept on going, it was going to take me down. And it was taking me down gradually, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I did come just for the physical part. And I remember saying, when I lose the weight, and I'm just going to leave. That's what I did with, you know, with certain things. I went to the Weight Watchers. Well, when I go to get my goal, I'm going to leave. Well, I was a goal, and I came home, and I rewarded myself, you know, with the food, going through the cabinets and eating certain things I shouldn't be eating. But the Weight Watchers didn't call me. They didn't explain to me about the physical, emotional, spiritual part of my disease. So I was just so ready and willing, and I was ready. I did the first three steps. I can't, he can, whoever you are there, please help me. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of my new life in my higher power, in the program, and my abstinence right from the first night. I'm so grateful. It was very hard, one day, one meal at a time, but I did not go back to the compulsion. And I kept on praying and started going to programs, started reading the literature, the tools. And one day at a time, one meal at a time, it's taken me 38 years. It is by the grace of my higher power, the program, the steps, whatever I hear here, that's the answer. I'm not going nowhere else. I'll be here till I die. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. Next, we've got Cheryl L., followed by Carly F.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cheryl L., calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be on the meeting and grateful to hear all the shares so far. Thank you, Crystal, for your service. So I want to thank the opening share, because I could really relate to that. Utterly hopeless, that's what I have highlighted in my book today. And watching people recover gave me hope. You know, when I came to my first OA meeting, it was around 2012, and people, most of the people in the meeting were in, you know, normal bodies, and they appeared happy. And people that I knew that were in OA, that were living this way of life, were maintaining abstinence for long periods of time. And so, you know, I was able to get abstinent at that point. But I didn't have all of the whole truth. You know, the whole truth is that what I've heard in these meetings, that that I am, you know, I am hopeless if I don't stay close to this program. I am hopeless if I don't work the steps. I am hopeless if I don't, you know, invest myself in my recovery every single day of my life. You know, I really appreciate this reading. When I go back in the chapter, and I look for the truth in this chapter, you know, I see it in here when it says it refers to facts. And so, you know, that's what I have to, you know, really pay attention to, you know, is what are the facts? What are the facts about myself? On page 18, it says, the ex-problem drinker who has found the solution is properly armed with facts about himself. So I have to know what the truth is about myself. I have to know what the tremendous fact is that every one of us has discovered a common solution. And then if I listen to what people on this line are sharing and what my sponsor shares with me and what I hear from, you know, from recovered folks, then I have a better chance of staying abstinent. And not just the physical abstinence, but also emotional, you know, staying away from those excesses of negative emotion, you know, that we read about in step 10. And I have to say that, you know, that's a work in progress for me. So I think that's all I'm going to share today. But thank you very much for letting me share. And have a wonderful, blessed day, an abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. Next, we've got Carly F., and then we'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Carly.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. I'm Carly F. I'm in Colorado, and in about less than three weeks, our family's going to be moving to Europe. And I'm on the verge of just finished step three and about to hit step four, because, you know, when you're going to do a big move like that, you're just going to go through the steps too, right? So anyway, I have some kind of disconnected thoughts this morning that I thought I would share. One is related to, he begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. And I think this search for truth is kind of where I'm at. I'm at the doorstep of step four, going to do an inventory and do all these things where I'm going to do the action around my recovery. I've accepted my higher power. I call him God. And I'm just ready to face this whole truth myself, right? And I think, you know, this person got his truth from the doctor. He was like, you are utterly hopeless. You can never again regain this position. You're going to have to lock yourself up. I mean, that must have been so hard to hear, right? But when I think about, I'm about to face my own truth, right, inside, and I found myself, and I believe in God, and and I was reading in Proverbs, and it says that, you know, he who listens to wisdom shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. And I think, you know, when I put my foolishness aside and myself aside, I'm going to listen to God, my higher power, and I'm going to live safely. And it doesn't say that evil is going to be put away or removed, but I'm going to be at ease with all the swirl and all the mess and all the stuff that goes on, because I'm going to have that wisdom to be able to move to the next, to get that discernment of what God wants me to do around my food, about my recovery, around my life, and then I can move on. So anyway, I struggle with having to do it all myself, right? I'm a big girl. I can do all these things, but really it's the man upstairs who is, who's, you know, needs to guide me, and I need to rely on him and his will. So anyway, with that, I will pass, but really quick for all those who are new, or maybe this is your first time. I know you'll probably hear this many times, but I first started coming to Vision, just like, oh, what an interesting little call. I'll get a sponsor, and my sponsor's amazing and doing all that. But then I was like, hey, you know, I really actually get so much out of these calls and everybody sharing. And so thank you to everyone who shares and has the courage to hit that star one and share, because it does, you know, water our garden, if you will, right? It does help us to grow together and in our own recovery. So thank you, everyone. And if you're new, please keep coming. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carly F. from Colorado. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there is a solution on page 26, the third paragraph. It begins with, he begged the doctor to tell him, reading through that one paragraph, ending with, that was a great physician's opinion. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Justin C., North Carolina.
Lee H.
Hi, Justin.
Ken W. H.
Maisie C.
Dave M.
Dave M.
Seema P.
Sorry, I heard somebody P. Could you say your name again, please?
Yep, this is Seema, S-E-M-A.
Perfect, Seema.
I don't know if you've got me, but it's Maisie C.
I've got you, Maisie. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honey.
No worries. Anybody else would like to share? All right, so let's go with that list then. I've got Justin C., Lee H., Ken W. H., Maisie C., Dave M., and Seema P. So if I could ask you to please give me your first name, the initial of your last name, and location when you share, so we can find you on the member list. And if everyone can press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Justin C., followed by Lee H.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. So grateful to be here. Thank you all for being here, moderator, for your service. You know, I'm reminded here, you know, he begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't want to hear the truth. I didn't want to know what it was. I was content with ignorance and self-will and just crawling into my hole, isolating, not being a part of life. You know, that was how I lived for many, many years. And until I was ready to seek the truth. And what I want to say is that I am so grateful for this line. You know, I had kind of dipped in and out, and I would listen for a little bit, and I would get frustrated, and I couldn't connect, and then I would hang up. And I finally put my phone number out there one time for the newcomer portion, and someone who had written my phone number down called me months and months later after I'd put it out there. And it was a God shot, man. It was right at the right time. I was desperate, beaten down, you know, and I was in a place where I was open to hearing the truth. And he suggested that I get on this line Monday through Friday every morning. And I started doing that. And at that very first meeting, I heard someone suggested to them to approach this meeting as a true big book study, to sit down and focus and write out notes and listen to what people are saying, write their names down so you can reach out to them. And I started doing that. And I hear the truth every single morning. I am a real compulsive overeater. I have an allergy of the body, a mental obsession of the mind, and a spiritual malady that only God can fix. And and I'm just so thankful to be here today, and grateful to have all of you and to hear that truth and to connect to it so that I can be in the sunlight of the Spirit and of maximum service today. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Justin C. from North Carolina. Next, we've got Lee H., followed by Ken W. H.
Well, good morning. This is Lee H., and I'm so grateful to be here and so thankful for this God Help program. The part I wanted to focus on is that he was utterly hopeless, and what a gift. I was fascinated when I first came into the rooms with the story about these three doctors and the fact that the first two were unavailable, Freud and Adler, and Jung was the one that Roland Hazard ended up going to. And the doctor just tells him that, you know, after a while, that he's just utterly hopeless. And that was what he needed to hear. That was what he needed to hear. And it sunk in. It kind of reminds me, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for just a second. It kind of reminds me about when I was about 25, I got married, and I had neglected going to the dentist for a while. I went to the dentist, and the dentist said, you know what, you have a disease, you have a gum disease, and if you don't start taking care of your teeth, flossing and, you know, brushing your teeth more, you are going to lose your teeth. And it woke me up. I mean, you know, my pride just, that's the worst thing I could think of was losing my teeth. So, you know, I think about how these words just woke him up, and they woke me up as well. I was not real overweight, but I was having a lot of marital issues with my husband, and my children were, you know, had grown and left the house, and I just felt so utterly alone, and I was just in the depth of hopelessness. And a friend told me about this phone meeting, and it was like it has just been amazing how God has helped me through all of you and just working these steps. I'm happy today. I'm peaceful today. I don't even think about food anymore, but I know it's right there. I know I'm not, you know, saying that it couldn't, you know, I'm just a step away. So I'm just so grateful to be here, and for all the newcomers. Just keep coming back, and I love all of you, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Lee H. Next, we've got Ken W. H., followed by Maisie C.
Thank you. This is Ken W. H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'm struck by the desperation in this, and he wanted the whole truth, and the doctor, and he got it. Well, what he got, from what I got, was I had asked for the whole truth once upon a time, and I was scared to death of it, and of hearing what it was. And it took a long time for me to get to a place. A few paragraphs later here, where a long time ago, a couple thousand years ago, somebody asked the question, what is truth? And I know when I heard that question, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's going to really tell me the truth. Well, I've come to understand that truth is actually a who, and it's God. The truth is God, and God has made that clear to me, the God of my understanding, my HP, has made that clear to me over the years, that my God is the truth, and that's the place above all else that I need to turn for it. I can look for it in all kinds of places. I can even try to define my truth, whatever that means. But I'm convinced that my truth must be that God has taken complete control of my life, because I haven't got any, and I'm hopelessly lost without the God of my understanding. Thanks for letting me share. A pass.
Thanks so much, Ken W. H. Next, we've got Maisie C., followed by Dave M. Maisie, press star 1 to unmute, please.
Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. And a good reading. And when I was hearing it be read and everybody shares, I was thinking of my doctor. And it hit me, and I thought, wow, I liked going to her because she was bigger than me. How sick is that? But I get my chart, I looked it up, what her comments after the last visit, and it said obese. And I got to tell you, that was a couple of months ago, and I thought, are you kidding me? Nobody is ever going to be able to say that about me again. And I was talking to my sponsor, and I kept trying after that, and I couldn't get it. I just could not stop eating. And I said to my sponsor, I'm hopeless. She said, no, you're not. And I realized it wasn't about my hopelessness. It was about my unwillingness. I was unwilling to surrender all. And until I came to that desperate place in my life, and I was totally desperate, and I knew that if I didn't put the food down, I was gonna die. Whether it be physically, I was going to die mentally and spiritually and emotionally and every which way. And I'm so grateful that I had and have a loving God that loves me unconditionally. And I knew, even though I do a lot of things in my faith every day, I was not still where I could be with him, because, like I've shared before, it's not about everything about the weight on my body, it was the weight in my head. And when I had my brain and head so full of where can I eat, how can I eat, how much is it going to cost, this, that, and the next thing, the craziness, the insanity of it all, and I realized I was taking up way too much space in my head, and there wasn't enough room for God in my head or in my heart. So thank God I started coming here May 1st, my daughter's birthday. I was just telling my sponsor, and she said, you'll never forget that day. And I said, nope. and I've come here every single day. I love this meeting. I'm faithful to this meeting. I need this meeting. I need all of you. I love you all. Helping me so much, and I've been abstinent since May 1st, and I'm just so grateful. I thank God every day for my abstinence and for this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. Next, we've got Dave M., followed by Seema P.
Yeah, this is Dave M. in Ohio, compulsive overeater. The thing that always gets me with sections like this is, in the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. Utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society. That basically means he wasn't going to be able to function. And sometimes when I go through these things, I think about these as questions. Am I utterly hopeless without this? Am I utterly hopeless? Because if I'm not living like I am, if I'm not dependent upon this thing that I found when I let go, then I don't believe I'm utterly hopeless anymore. In fact, one of the things I always thought made sense that I heard a speaker say was that when you're hopeful, you're going to do it tomorrow or maybe the next day. But when you're hopeless, then you're willing to do whatever it takes. And I know that sounds harsh if you're new to this concept, because it is harsh. It's not easy to go through. There's a part later in this where it says, not many of us enjoyed the leveling of pride. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying it correctly. But we don't want to have our pride level. We want to be in control. And that's very hard to let go. And if you're new and you're hearing all this God talk and you're thinking, I don't believe in God, it doesn't require you to believe in God. It requires you to let go. And encounter the thing that happens when you let go. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave M. from Ohio. Next, we've got Seema P., and then we'll have some time for some more names.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Seema P. from Rhode Island, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Thank you, Crystal, for your service, and everyone for your shares, and everyone out on the line. I really like this paragraph because it brings back some memories for me. Thankfully, this isn't the end of the story for Roland, which we'll read in future paragraphs. But I remember I was somewhere in my 20s, and I was having my annual physical, and my doctor at the time told me, he said he wasn't worried about me at that moment, but he was worried about me in 25 years. Well, it's 25 years later now, maybe even a few years after that. But that doctor didn't know anything about program, OA program of recovery or the spiritual solution, but I never forgot those words. I'm 32 years in the program. I was abstinent for the first 19 years, 70-pound weight loss, beautiful recovery, physical, and I picked up, right? What's the insanity of that? After 19 years, like our friend Fred in More About Alcoholism, I was, you know, maybe caught off guard, but there was no fight. And I thought I could eat like a normal person. After all, I had 19 years, right? Well, I did this twice, not once. I did this twice, relapsed. And the thing is, I didn't expand on my spiritual way of life. You know, like Roland, I thought I had all this knowledge. I had all these years in program. I had it all figured out. And the funny thing is, like, my goal was to have a normal relationship with food. And it's laughable, right, because that's not possible for me. And thank you, God, I know that today. You know, last night I took my 92-year-old father out for a frozen treat. And my folks used to do that with us kids all the time. And we'd go watch, we'd go to the airport, watch the planes take off and land. And, you know, I went up to that window and I ordered his treat, and I felt the buildup of the excitement, you know, kind of flashing back to when I was a kid. And the thing is, you know, like, I have to be fully convinced, fully concede to my innermost self, like, I have this thing. And doing that brings me to that place of surrender. And that may feel like defeat. It may sound like defeat for a lot of people out here. But for me, it brought me freedom. Because in that moment that my father asked me if I wanted a taste, and he's always testing me all the time. And, you know, thank you, God, I have, you know, 6+ years right now. And I was able to say no with a big smile on my face. I said, you're always testing me, Dad. I said, you're waiting for me to say yes, you know. I said, I hope that I never do. But last night I didn't. Thank you, God. And that is the grace of God. That's what I have to share. With that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Seema P. from Rhode Island. We do have time for a few more shares. Who would like to share?
Sherry Anderson, Wisconsin.
Lauren
Hannah, Hannah Yetta R.
Lilan from Germany.
Sorry, Penny E. from Sarah. South Jersey.
Thank you. Sorry, I've got Sherry F. I heard Hannah Yetta, and I heard Penny. I'm so sorry. I think I missed quite a few people. I'm hoping you can stick around and share on the second hour. Let's see if we can get through three people today. So we'll start with Sherry F., followed by Hannah Yetta. Sherry, please press star one to unmute.
Hi, Sherry S. in Wisconsin. Thank you. You know, this paragraph, just today I'm humbled, and yesterday, so I've been in program since January 4th, back in program. I had to go do more research, and I don't want to say I'm grateful for it, but I am grateful for it, because today I have truly have abstinence, and my mind is clear, and working the steps as they're written, as they tell us to, has given me a life I didn't imagine I could ever have. That broken piece that I've carried with me my whole life is gone. And it's filled with God. And, you know, I say this sort of often, I get to work for God today. I mean, that's the best job on the planet, in my book. And, you know, so God told me a long time ago, well, 3 years ago when I was on this journey, and then I decided to take food back, that what I weigh is none of my business, that all I needed to do was come to meetings, do the work, and he would take care of the physical side of it. If I worked on my spiritual side in connection with him, he would take care of the physical side of it. And since January 4th, he has released 80 pounds. I go to the doctor today to have my physical, and I did my blood work yesterday. And for the first time, and I can remember, the doctor replied back, your blood work looks good. Everything is normal. Everything is normal. That's the miracle of me saying, you're right, God, I don't know how to do this. It's the miracle and the humility of me getting out of my way, thinking I know what's best or that I can fix this. It's the miracle of me going to a dietitian and saying, I can't do this. I can't make my own food plan. I had to give up all of that control, which I didn't want to do because, well, I'm self-sufficient, right? But I did. And I'm so grateful because the miracles I've received in this program since January 4th is amazing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry F. from Wisconsin. Next, we've got Hanayeta R., followed by Penny E.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your service. First, I just have to take one moment to thank all the people who have been calling and reaching out to me since I've been in the hospital rehab, and I'm still here. I'll still probably be here for another couple of weeks. But I'm trying to get back with everybody. I don't think I have yet. But I had to say that first because that's real important to let people know that I appreciate. But when it's said here that they would have to place him under lock, he would have to place himself under lock and key. I did do that. I put myself in centers that, you know, I said, just put me away for a while because I can't stand this. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And if I'm locked up, then I can't get to the food, which that's not true because I have home. Wherever you go, there's food. But someplace it says that I can roam free like normal people. But, you know, I don't have to worry about walking by some type of a sweet shop or some kind of a shop that sells greasy food or, you know, things that, you know, really hard for me, a lot of greasy food. And I don't have to worry about that. I can walk by those places now with the grace of God and his support and not even think about it, not even care about it. I can even put, you know, this is going to sound weird, but put, you know, butter on a bagel for my husband and not want to eat the whole tub of butter, which that is like a true miracle. And in here too, I can order anything I want. Order cake. I can order all the sweets I want. I can tell them to put extra margarine on my food. I can, whatever I want, I could do it. I love the word, and I didn't know this word until I got into the vision program, is I'm neutral. I'm neutral. And, you know, my whole life is such a miracle all the way through. I've been in OA for many, many 10-year periods, over 50 years. And I've had so many miracles in my life, and it's just wonderful. And I want to tell anybody that's new and thinks there's no way I'm going to get what these people have. It's just too much. It's too much. I'll never, ever be that happy. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, and you never know when that miracle's going to happen. So that's my tagline now. So thank you for letting me share, and you all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Hanayeta R., and then we've got Penny E.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Good morning. Penny E. from South Jersey, recovered through the grace of God, through the grace of God. My heart is just pounding out of my chest, and that's God telling me, share, Penny, share, Penny, share, Penny. So, you know, I didn't need a doctor to tell me I was hopeless. I knew I was hopeless. I mean, for years and years and years, I tried everything that came down the pike, and I lost weight. I was always a good dieter and always lost weight. For 1 second, I would maintain the weight, and boom, I'd be back up. I mean, I have a list. I can go on 20 minutes what I tried. So I knew I was hopeless. The next step for me was suicide. I could not live with the disease. I could not live with the food. I could not live without the food. And everybody in my life said, just try a little willpower, you know. Put a picture of a beautiful woman in a bathing suit on your refrigerator. That didn't work. You know, don't take any money with you. That didn't work. But when I came into this program, and psychiatrists told me, you know, I wanted to kill myself. I knew I was hopeless. But I came into this program, and I read, and I studied, and I listened to people, had a sponsor who was recovered, and listened to what she said. And, you know, in the next couple days, we're going to hear about the solution. There is a solution. The hope is on the next page. And through the grace of God, for 35 years, 35 years, I have not had the need to pick up food. That is awesome, through the grace of God. Nothing to do with me, everything to do with God. So thank you. I love you all. My arms are around you. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Penny E., for closing us off. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you to everyone who shared today, and thank you to Team Thursday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, June 20th, is 21,504. 21504. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Abby D. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, so to keep you until then.
Yes, hi, this is Abby D., recovered bulimic and compulsive eater in Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.